In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the Sunday after the cross, the last day of the feast, an eight-day remembrance, celebration of the elevation, the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord, by which we bring a wooden cross out into the middle of the church and an olive wood cross from the Holy Land. The cross was the choice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father George Florovsky, the great 20th century theologian, said, "The mystery of the cross begins in eternity. In eternity. The will of the Father in the sanctuary of the Holy Trinity. It was a voluntary self-offering, an oblation, a sacrifice. It was not, as Father George says, a necessity of this world that Christ went to the cross, but a necessity of divine love, a necessity of divine love, to reveal the full depth of God's love for us, His self-offering for us." As I have heard skeptics say, "Well, I didn't ask Him to die for me." And the answer is, you didn't have to ask. He didn't wait for us. "For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still indifferent and ungrateful, Christ died for us." Christ dealt with our sins before we did. He bears the sins of the world by the free choice of love, as a free act of compassion and love. The cross reveals to us the love of God for His creatures. As Father Hopko likes to say, "We were sinful, cursed, and dead due to the fall. So Christ became sin, became a curse, became dead for us. Because that's what we needed to heal our human nature." And so we hear the Lord's words today in the Gospel of Mark. "When He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." So what is our cross? We each have our own crosses of suffering in this life in the fallen world. We are going to have sufferings in this life. Either those sufferings will be meaningless, or we will relate them, refer them to the cross as our portion of the cross. Following Christ includes a cross. Whosoever would come after Me has to take up his cross. Beyond our personal crosses, there are three crosses that we are called to share in the body of Christ, in the church. The first cross is the cross of doctrine. The cross of doctrine, yes, of doctrine. If you are an Orthodox Christian, you carry the cross of the doctrines, the teachings of the original church, of the early Christian path. It is the cross of believing something specific, something distinct and seemingly obscure to many. As President Eisenhower famously said, "America is founded on faith, and I don't care what faith it is." And he said it a little more colorfully than that even. Real Americans don't care about doctrine. Then there was the preacher I heard who said, we have to get rid of all these doctrines and get back to the Bible. Enough of doctrines. Of course, the Bible is a book of theology, a book of specific teachings about God, a book of specific doctrines, a particular vision of God. It may not be the popular version of God, but with all the various denominations, most of which are American-born, they had their start in the past couple hundred years. One must assume that some folks were interested in doctrine. Enough so to start a new denomination about it and further complicate the witness of Christianity. Yet the average man in the pew is not concerned about doctrine and could not tell you the history and origins of his denomination. We have a flyer in the narthex that talks about the establishment point, the history of each of the most well-known faiths, versions of Christianity. And the average man in the street could care less about doctrine. And there are people that will think that our new church is beautiful, as I was told again this week, as I was getting out of the car, a man was on his bike and stopped and just to have to tell me how wonderful, how glorious, how beautiful the church is, what a wonderful addition to the neighborhood. So a lot of people like that will think our new church is great, but will never set foot in it because it's too specific. It's too particular. It's too much this and not that. It's too much this and not that. And indeed, some American Orthodox, for the sake of evangelism, think our church should be more generic, should blend better. And they wouldn't say it that way, but I've seen that. In our diocese, there are, in two larger cities in the diocese, there are two churches built in the last 10, 20 years, significant growth situations and growth cities. And when they built this. They built a large, plain A-frame building. And I think there was a reason for that, that it wouldn't be too specific looking. They would sort of generic. Now our two cathedrals in Dallas and Miami are very specific, are very much an expression of Orthodox architecture and tradition. So we carry the cross, brothers and sisters, of our particularity, of which we try in vain to hide, and sometimes publicly. Publicly, we are ashamed to reveal our faith. We have to fight that temptation to be ashamed of our orthodoxy, of its differentness, of its differentness. Whoever will be ashamed of me, of my words, Christ said. The cross of doctrine. Then there's the cross of practice, of the practice of the faith, orthopractice, orthopraxis. Maybe we are keeping, it may be just that we are keeping and preserving this ancient way of the Christian faith like an artifact, like a treasure. And it's a privilege to do so. An artifact which tells a story and preserves a meaning, an expression of the original intent of the life in Christ, of the Christian walk. And again, there are people, there are priests, who wouldn't approve of such words at all. They wouldn't like that I just said that. They'd say that the church needs to be more outgoing and less specific and more accommodating. If so, the question is, how accommodating should we be? What are we offering people when they come to our churches? Are we to give them an authentic expression and experience of orthodoxy as much as it's within our ability to do so? Or should we give them something less potentially challenging, less off-putting, less specific? We speak of living tradition, that the tradition is living, that the tradition of orthodoxy speaks to the soul, to the universal needs of the human soul in every generation. In every generation. As someone said, tradition is the living faith of dead people, not the dead faith of living people. The people here confess their sins and fight against their passions, their angers, greed, lusts, jealousies. Even if the battle is hard and with seemingly few victories, it's a very specific way of life. It is a very specific practice. Through confession, a person discards everything that is useless within and become spiritually fruitful. One day the elder Paisius was digging in his garden to plant a few tomatoes. Right then someone came and said to him, "What are you doing, elder?" He said, "Well, I'm confessing my garden," I told him. Puzzled over my remark, he asked, "Does a garden need confessing too?" "Of course it does," said the elder. "I remove the rocks, the weeds, the briars, and so on. It then produces healthy vegetables. Otherwise, the tomatoes are yellowish and sickly." Confessing the garden. Whosoever would come after me is a very specific call. Nothing will humble you as much as simply trying to live an authentic Orthodox Christian life. The cross of practice of faithfulness, of facing down evil, not the evil out there, the evil in your own soul. It's been big in the news these past couple weeks of the outrage over the behavior of some football players and specific things that they did, domestic violence and so forth, and a call to punish, a call to remove people from their livelihoods, a call to avenge, a lot of sanctimonious and righteous reaction. My thought was, if the church spoke out, they would tell us to shut up. We don't want to hear from you. You have doctrines. We don't want to hear from you. You're religious. We don't want your righteous indignation. The world has its own self-righteousness. They're not interested in our take on it. There has been, though, an Orthodox reaction to things by our Orthodox football player, Troy Trifon Polamalu. When asked about the specific incident where the player punched his wife, he said, "Unfortunately, I've seen the video, but I have a lot of issues of my own that I deal with. In truth, I couldn't judge him on anything because I'm defiled. I'm defiled by as many passions and sins and more than him, most likely. I have my own struggles, and obviously he's got his own struggles. We all have our own struggles, so I can't look past my own struggles to judge him." Of course, nobody knew what to do with that reaction. But that's an Orthodox reaction. That, yes, it's easy, it's so easy to critique others. And it's so hard to critique ourselves. But he immediately turned that light around on himself. Finally, the third cross is the cross of community, of coming together to be the body of Christ, a gathering from our scatteredness. It's itself a real challenge in modern church life that we commute here as we commute everywhere else. It's a commuter church, but still there's the cross of bearing one another's burdens, the cross of praying for one another, of resisting isolation in our own egos, of really seeing each other when we gather here, not just looking. Really seeing each other, which is to say, to see each other with an eye of concern, of sympathy, an eye of compassion, an eye of love. A bit of the love Christ has shown to us on the cross, to share and to give each other a bit of that love. That's finally, brothers and sisters, our challenge. These are our crosses. The cross to be, to carry the faith, to live the faith, and to support one another in the faith. Through the power of the precious and life-creating cross of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.